to ask you what you think about, how optimistic are you that before March 5th that Congress is going to do something to protect the Dreamers?
I'm a slight bit more optimistic now than I was before the deal was made between President Trump on the one hand and Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi on the other hand. It appears as though, only appears though, because we never know what to believe, you know, from President Trump on this issue. It appears as though he doesn't necessarily want to get rid of DACA permanently. It appears as though, I'm not sure, okay? I think there's a slight opening there. They made the argument that it's not constitutional what President Obama did. Fine. I don't agree with that, but fine. If that's all that he was worried about, then we should hold his feet to the fire and say, okay, you want to protect the Dreamers? You tweeted after Nancy Pelosi asked you to tweet to protect the Dreamers. Then let's make a deal and let's get something done here, the Dream Act preferably, so we can protect those folks.
Well, how do you get it past the Republican-controlled House and Senate leadership?
That's a question.
Because you obviously voted for the Dream Act.
I did, and I'm a co-sponsor on the current one as well.
Which then, and the Senate filibustered that.
Right, exactly.
So you were a supporter of the 2013 bill.
That's right. It's going to be very, very difficult. I think that actually the fact of the matter is, if we had taken the Senate comprehensive immigration bill a number of years ago and put it on the floor of the House, I think at that time we had a really good chance to pass that bill. But John Boehner stood in the way. I think there are a lot of people in the U.S. House of Representatives in districts that demand that they pass the Dream Act. I think we would have a real shot at it in the House. And if we had a shot at the House, we'd certainly have a shot at it in the Senate. I'm not predicting that it would pass, but I think we'd have a shot at it.
Well, didn't Paul Ryan already say that no standalone Dream Act is going to come?
I understand that. I'm just saying, you know, hypothetically, if he were to allow it to come to a vote,
right,
I think there'd be some chance that it could pass, actually. I think the dynamics right now in Washington are just so confusing that it's hard to know from day to day or even hour to hour what's going to happen and who's going to go with whom on what coalition. I think it's really difficult to know, but our job is just to keep pushing on the things that we find to be priorities, whatever they may be, and that's what I'm going to continue to do as a congressman.
So would you say this is one of your priorities?
Well, I think it's something that we can get done, and I think it would protect these folks, as we should, because I don't think they should be punished for the sins of their parents, basically. So it's the right thing to do.
Last week, I asked your congressional staff for your statement, and they sent me a statement, but I didn't see it like out as a press release on your website, or I didn't see you kind of going out and taking that message to interviews. I mean, were you kind of deliberately being a little quiet?
No. No, I mean, I can't go out and take a public stand on everything that passes every day.
Okay.
So, no, not at all. No, I'm definitely, you know, I'm a co-sponsor on this. It's not a problem.
What do you think about, now there's some new movement in the Senate behind the Cassidy-Graham bill. This is the sort of last gasp effort to pass a reconciliation health care bill before September 30th.
Right.
Do you feel that the House would immediately approve? I mean, if they can get 50 votes for something in the Senate, do you feel the House would just like rubber stamp that?
Well, that's why I'm paying very close attention to John McCain. He said that he could be for it. That's a scary thought as far as I'm concerned, because we shouldn't be passing anything before September 30th that does away with the ACA. It just simply shouldn't happen. And I'm happy that the Senate parliamentarian ruled that this is a reconciliation bill and it has to pass under reconciliation, and that expires on September 30th. You know, there are all kinds of shenanigans they can pull. They could extend, you know, this into the next fiscal year if they want. I think that'd be very difficult to do. But now they're talking about tax reform under reconciliation. And they're not anywhere near passing a budget, because that's what they have to do for fiscal 18. They have reconciliation instructions to pass a tax reform bill on a 50 vote, you know, plus Mike Pence in the Senate.
So they would first need to pass some kind of continuing resolution that goes through?
No, the budget would be separate. You know, the continuing resolution would just be, obviously, just for appropriations for fiscal 18. The budget, technically, was supposed to be done a long time ago, but it's not. But whatever they do on tax reform, if they want to do it under reconciliation, regardless of the appropriations bills, they have to pass a budget bill with reconciliation instructions, and they're not anywhere doing it, anywhere near doing that right now.
Well, and the president just said that with this Hurricane Irma, maybe we need to speed up tax reform. But
I don't classic. Understand. It's a non sequitur to me, but there's no logical connection as far as I'm concerned.
Well, everything, when you're a hammer, everything looks like a nail, and when you're a Republican, everything's a reason to cut taxes for the rich people.
Well, they want to cut taxes, there's no doubt about that.
Right.
And, you know, whatever they do, I think it's going to be sometime down the road, we'll see. But the last thing is just cut taxes for the rich.
Is there anything that is sort of brewing in the House now that makes you feel optimistic? I mean, on any issue?
Yeah, I mean, there are a number of us talking informally about how to fix the problems with the Affordable Care Act,
mm-hmm.
especially the stabilizing insurance market.
Right.
And I don't agree entirely with what the problem solvers came out with.
Okay.
Because there are just some provisions in there that go too far for me. But clearly there are openings, and especially when it comes to the reinsurance part of this, because we saw what happened in Iowa. And I don't want to do anything that is going to take away from the Affordable Care Act, especially the essential benefits part of this. I'm a big mental health proponent on that issue, and I'll even mention my mom today, maybe I did too, which I often do in my speeches. We've got to have the essential benefits in there, there's no question, because states, if we allow them to do what they want to do, they could easily cut out a number of these essential benefits, as you know.
Well, one of the biggest concerns.
That's one of the things that is under consideration right now.
With this Cassidy Graham, is if they block grant Medicaid.
I know. It makes no sense.
That's a disaster for the rural hospitals.
No, and not just rural hospitals, hospitals in general, and providers in general. I have no one, and as a group, since I've been in Congress, I don't know, but I think the modal group, that I met with, is probably healthcare professionals. I don't know that for a fact, but I think that group may be the biggest group of people I've met with. And when it comes to block grant and Medicaid, or even per capita, everybody's opposed to it. Nobody's for it, because they know what's going to happen in Iowa. And then with our fiscal problems in Iowa, to throw this back to Iowa, these fiscal problems aren't going to go away immediately. So it doesn't make any sense at all. It'll only hurt people.
Thanks a lot.
No, thanks.